Okay, in the Chumash, ran page 66, in Lach Lecha. Okay, what we're learning last time is what's called the Bris Ben Absalom. After these words, Hashem said to him, "Don't worry, Avram, you didn't use up any of your merits. Your merits are plentiful." And so he, Avram Avinu, says to him, "Yeah, but it was going to go everything to my Damascus slave, Eliezer. I mean, come on." So he says, "No." Hashem took him outside and he said, "Count the stars that you're going to be, that's the way your children are going to be." So it says in the Pasuk, "Vayetzi Eisei Hachutza," he took him outside and he told them, "Habet no Hashemayma." Now Habet, we said last week, is looking from up to down. Meaning Hashem actually took Avram and put him on top of the sky. And he said, "Look down at the sky." And that's how many of your children are going to be. The commentators explain, by the way, it doesn't mean in quantity, the amount of stars. Because Hashem already told me you're going to be like the dirt of the ground. It means the quality of stars, shining, bright, and so on and so forth. Okay, so we started mentioning last week, and so we're going to continue this week. What? That's good. Log off. So we said last week that this week we're going to talk a little bit about the story of the constellations, the mazel. Do we have mazel? Is there no mazel? What does it mean when the Gemara says, "Ein mazel Yisrael"? What is this whole concept of mazel? So before we explain in a practical sense, first off, as first in many opinions, like Rabbi Novachaya says, collectively, there's no mazel for a Jew. Individually, Jews have mazel. Some opinions say, no, no Jew has mazel. And again, we're going to explain exactly what these things mean. So let's go off a little bit and discuss a very fundamental thing in Yiddishkeit, okay? A Jew is not allowed to believe in idol worshiping. It's a given. First of the Ten Commandments. "I am God, your God, who took you out of Egypt. You should not have any other gods." One of the seven Noahic laws is a guy is also not allowed to worship idols. Now, what the Torah says, a guy is not allowed to worship idols, there's a big argument in the codifiers between the Rambam and others, and between the Beis Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, between a lot of different, Rambam and Tosfos, there's a lot of different opinions. In other words, like this, a goy has to believe, not a Jew, so let's talk about the lesser level of belief in a God that a goy has to believe in. A goy has to believe that everything comes from God. He's the boss. He controls everything. He's in charge of everything. But according to some opinions, by the way, which is not necessarily the Rambam's opinion, the Rambam says no, a guy is allowed to believe in what's called shituf, partnership. What is this concept of shituf, shutaf, partnership? The Gemara says, I'm just explaining it properly that we should understand what the difference between a Jew's belief in Hashem versus a goy's belief in Hashem, and what a goy is allowed to believe in, and what, for instance, the Rambam writes, Muslims are not idol worshippers. The Rambam writes clearly, Muslims are not idol worshippers, they believe in God, their Muhammad is a prophet. There's no Trinity, Shminity, Binity. They have one God and prophet. So they believe mamash in one Hashem. Christianity, on the other hand, has something that's called a Trinity. There is, you know, the three of them. Now, what does this mean? According to the Rambam, for a goy to believe in Christianity is Aveda Zora. Because the Rambam holds a goy is not allowed to believe in any partnership. What does partnership mean? So, the explanation is like this. The Gemara says, there's three partners, Gimel Shutfim Ba'adam. In a person's birth, there are three partners. Father and mother give the body. V'akadosh Baruch Hu Neisim Bein Nesham. And Hashem gives the soul. So the three, you can have a parent giving birth to a stillborn, God forbid. Who gives the life of the baby, that comes from Hashem. So the parents give the body, and the God gives the soul, the life, the neshama. It's understood what's the most important of the three, God's participation, life. Otherwise you just have a stillborn. So what's the primary partner in the child? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gives the neshama. Yet, a person, the Gemara says, there's three partners. Why are there three partners? The definition of a partner means they have a say in the matter to do it or not to do it. The parents didn't have to get married. They didn't have to have children. They could have not had it. Why does the Torah say, amidst in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother? Like, who are they? God made you. Who's a father and a mother? The answer is, they are a partner in your existence. Why are they a partner in your creation of the child? Because they had the choice to have you or not to have you. And because of that, they are called partners. And because of that, the Torah says, you have to give them thanks. You have to honor them. You have to fear them. You have to respect them. Why? Because they have a say in your existence. Okay? Now, when this is the mashal that the Medrash gives and Chassidus brings down. When a wood chopper chops with an axe, the axe is not a partner in the chopping. You don't say, when the guy finishes chopping, you don't come along and say, oh, thank you, axe, very much. You don't say, thank you, axe, very much. Why not? He chopped. Or let's take it another step. You ask somebody to give you a ride. Give you a ride from your house to shul. You get out of the car if you're a mensch. You say thank you to the driver, right? It never enters a guy's mind to say thank you to the car. Unless if they're overwhelmed by the car. But you don't say thank you to the car. Why don't you say thank you to the car? It's very simple. The car had no opinion to bring you or not to opinion to bring you. When the axe chops the tree, the axe has no say whether he's going to chop or not. If somebody cuts you a piece of cake, you don't say thank you to the knife. You say thank you to the cutter. Why do you say thank you to the cutter? He could have cut. He could have not cut. And he chose to cut. So you're telling him thank you. Which means like this. Something which has a say, you give credence to. Something that has no say is not a partner, and therefore it's foolish to give credence to the car or to the knife or to the axe or to the pen that wrote down something for you and say, okay, thank you, pen. Okay? That's very clear, right? Now, according to Halacha, a Jew, according to all opinions, is not allowed to believe that any power that exists in the world has a power of their own. Not the sun, not the moon, not the constellations, not the mazel, not the angels in charge of the nations. Nothing, according to a Jewish halacha, a Jew has to believe there is only God and God only.
Not even people?
Not even people. You don't worship people. But that's not in sustaining the sustenance of the sun and the moon and They used to worship the sun and the moon and the constellations, because the constellations, the mazel, should have a good mazel. Oh, he had good mazel.
Sorry, what's mazel? Sorry,
luck. Mazel, they say, is an acronym for Mokim, Zman, and Loshin. Time, place, and your tongue. Mazel basically means constellations, luck. You have Mazel Tov. What does Mazel Tov mean? Mazel Tov means you be good luck. So some, you say somebody had good mazel, right? They won the lottery, they had good mazel, right? Now, does that mean that we give credence to the mazel for you winning the lottery? 100% not. A Jew has to believe that nothing in the world but God is the power of the world. Everything else, the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations, everything else, is only like the axe in the hand of the chopper. There's no credence given to the axe because the axe has no say of its own. You don't say thank you to the axe. You don't say thank you to the cow. You don't say thank you to the knife. That's a given, according to Allah, for every single Jew. What?
The Arabs who have a suicide belt and they explode, but before that they say Allahu Akbar and then
no.
Explode. So is that really worshipping God in a way?
No.
What is that?
It's craziness. The question is, when the suicide bombers of the Arabs say, they say, what are they going to get? 72 girls from Virginia that they promised. So that is, it's a Bubba Mice. Now, huh?
West Virginia.
God isn't there anyways, or other, the other way around, parents go 10 to 15 years, there is no, the child won't come, so that is also 100% God.
A Jew has to believe there is nothing but God, period. Everything else, that doesn't mean we don't get heat and warmth from the sun, or we don't get heat from the moon, and it doesn't mean the sun doesn't produce produce. The Grashi says, and the moon doesn't produce produce, and it doesn't mean the constellations don't make it rain or that. But a Jew's belief is there is no credence given to any of that because they're only the axe in God's hand, the chopper. One second. Now the question is a non-Jew allowed to believe in Shita for now? Is a non-Jew said like this? I believe in God. I believe in God. No question. But I believe the sun, the moon, the constellations have their own ability. Like the parents have their own ability to have. Everybody says a child comes from God. So why are the parents partners? The Gemara calls them the three partners. Because they have a choice to have you or not to have you. Right? It's their choice. Okay. The pearl they do, I mean. That's because we're all messed up. But the fact is, factually, you have a choice to have you or not to have you. Now, the question, how far does it go with a goy? So according to the Rambam, by the way, a goy is not allowed to believe that any of those powers have any power whatsoever. They have no power whatsoever. Other opinions, Taisis, Rosh, Ramah, Shulchan Aruch, they hold that, according to Halacha, a goy is allowed to believe in Shita. That means a goy is allowed to believe that the constellations, the angels, the stars, and the sun, and the moon, they do have an ability to make a decision to do it or not to do it. And therefore, for them, it's not called idol worshiping. So, for instance, in Christianity, where you have the three of them, so if you hold of Shituf, then that's Mamash Avedah Zarah, because then you have two other guys beside God. That's mamash idol worshiping. If you hold that shituf is not forbidden, then it's not avodah zarah for a god. And the halacha, by the way, is it's not avodah zarah for a god. For Jews, it's 100% avodah zarah. Okay.
So why are we not allowed to walk into the church?
That's because of the impurity of the church. We don't want to walk into somebody that can affect us spiritually. You know, years ago, besides the fact, years ago in Europe, the church made a lot of pogroms against the Jews. Not only did they not go into a church, if the church had an awning, even today, from guys, if there's a church awning, they won't walk under it. They'll walk around it, or they'll go to the next block. A lot of guys won't even walk under a movie theater awning for the same reason. It's impure. They don't want to be affected by it. And by the way, the sin of walking into the church is only a place where they actually worship, which then, for a Jew, is avodah zarah. For them, it's not, because they're allowed to worship as Christianity. But for a Jew, that church is avodah zarah. In other words, halachically, we're not saying you should do it. But there's a less of a problem of a Jew walking into a mosque than there would be to walk, according to the most opinions, than to walk into a church. So I'm not saying you should go into either of them. But there's less effect on the neshama by this. Now you have this whole inyan of mazel by the Jew. So we say a Jew should have good mazel. Say mazel tov, should have good mazel. Hashem said, your mazel of Avraham is not going to have a baby. And your mazel of Avraham, I'm changing, your mazel is going to have a baby. Or God forbid, in Yiddishkeit, right? Somebody is deathly ill. What do? We add a name. Chayim, for Chayo. We add a name, okay, usually which means life. In the prayer that we say, you don't have to say the prayer, but in the prayer that which is said, when they change to somebody's name, they say the prayer says the following. If it was decreed on this person that he should, God forbid, die, this is a different person. Because this is not Avram anymore. Now he's Chaim Avram. So it's a new person. He has a new name. So he's not Avram. If Avram was decreed to die, now he's Chaim Avram. They usually give a name which means life, and therefore the decree shouldn't affect him. So this is the concept of a mazel. Now, taking it a step further when it comes to Jews, by the way, a Jew, even when there is a concept of mazel, that's why we say mazel tov, should have good mazel in her. A Jew is not bound by mazel. You know, one of the main mazel constellation things is the old-fashioned astrology. Oh, today, astrology, right? The stargazers. There's a famous story in the Gemara with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was once told by a stargazer that your daughter is going to die on her wedding day. That's what the stargazer told Rabbi Akiva. Your daughter is going to die on the wedding day. Rabbi Akiva kept it in the back of his mind and he forgot about it. Many years later, his daughter got married. She got married, very nice. The morning after the wedding, all of a sudden Rabbi Akiva hears a big yell in the house. What happened? His daughter took off her long pin that they had in the hair. They used to wear these long pins. And she stuck it into the wall. And when she pulled it out, there was a vicious snake dead at the other end of it. So this brought Rabbi Akiva to think, oh, come to think of it, the guy told me she is going to die. So there was something there. So Rabbi Akiva said to her, what is the story in the Gemara? Rabbi Akiva said to her, what did you do yesterday, special? She said, I got married. She said, no. What special did you do? So she told him that during the dinner, everybody was busy in the festivities, A poor man came knocking on the back door. I was in the kitchen. I opened him up, and he told me he hasn't eaten for days. So I sat him down and gave him a meal. I fed him. So Rabbi Akiva said, now I understand what the pasuk says. Tzedakah tatzel mimavis. Tzedakah saves from death. There was another story in the Gemara, which is a similar story, but very interesting. I think it was Rabbi Akiva or another few people were sitting together with a stargazer. And there are a bunch of workers walking into the forest in the morning to go work. So the stargazer says to Rabbi Akiva, you see that guy? He's not coming back alive. He's dying in the forest. So, okay, Rabbi Akiva waited around. At the end of the day, the guy came back. The guy came back. So the stargazer was shocked. So finally they saw that there was Taka's poisonous snake in his bag. He almost got killed, and he didn't. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, what did you do? So he said, I'll tell you what I did today. Normally, everybody brings their own lunch. Then we collect the lunches. And then when lunchtime comes, we give them out again. I saw one guy forgot to bring his lunch. See, he's going to be embarrassed. So I said to the guys, you know what? Let me collect the lunches today. When I came to him, I took my lunch and I put it down for him. So Rabbi Akiva again says, Tzedakah tatzel mimavis. He did that act of goodness. Now, what does that mean? Was the guy supposed to die? Or wasn't he supposed to die? Obviously, there's something there. I mean, Rabbi Akiva's daughter had this poisonous snake. And this guy had his poisonous snake. What happened that changed the destiny, the mazel of that particular of those particular people? So sages explain that Jews are not bound, even when they have mazel. Like we said, Rabbeinu Bachai says, he brings it down over here, that although Israel as collective community is above planetary influence, there is a mazel for each person as an individual. Every person individually has a mazel. But it goes even more. In Sfarim and Chassidus, definitely it explains that a Jew could change his mazel. A goy can't. By a goy, what the mazel is supposed to be, that's what's going to happen. You can't change it. By a Jew has the ability that even if the mazel said negative, not good mazel you don't change. Even if there was negative mazel, the Jew has the ability to change it. How and why? Because a Jew is not bound by limitations of mazel.
So if a Jew davens,
he could change his mazel. You could change his mazel. If you buy a lottery ticket, you could also change your mazel. Yeah, because a Jew comes from a higher level of godliness than the constellations do. Constellations come from the world of Bria, whatever the Kabbalistic world are. The Jews come from a higher level. What level is that? The Gemara's expression is always, Ein mazel Yisro. I mean, Jews don't have mazel. Whether it's collective, individual, Jews are not bound by mazel. So in Chassidus it explains, don't read it, ein mazel Yisrael. Ein mazel Yisrael means there is no mazel. Read it, ayin mazel Yisrael. The level of ayin, of nothing, that's the source of the Jew. That's the mazel of the Jew. Don't read it, there is no mazel by a Jew. Read it, ayin, the level of ayin, I'll explain to you what level that means, is the mazel of the Jew. What does this mean? We say in davening, Shabbos, in Shir HaMalis, it says like this, Shir HaMalis, Esa Einai Elohorim, I pick up my eyes to the mountain, David HaMalach says, Me ayin Yovei Ezri. It's a question. From where will my help come? Where will my help come from? And the next pasuk says, Ezri me'im Hashem, my help comes from me'im Hashem, from Hashem, who created heaven and earth. So simple, learning the pasuk, it's question and answer. David HaMelech says, I pick up my eyes to the sky, where do I get help from? And the answer is, from heaven, from God. In Chassidus it says, it's not a question and answer, it's a statement. I pick up my eyes to the mountain, me'ayin, from the level of nothingness, yavai ezri, my help will come. What does it mean? There's a pasuk Shlema Melech says, Hachachma ma'ayin timatzei. Chachma comes from nothing. That's what Shlema Melech says. Chachma ma'ayin timatzei. Chachma comes from nothing. What does it mean, Chachma comes from nothing? So explanation is like this. You know, in the worlds, there's four worlds. Each world has 10 levels. Chachma, Bina, Das, you know, if you learn Siddur, Kabbalah, whatever. The level higher than world, is called the level of nothing. Meaning, world is the finite revelation of God. Chachma, meaning higher than the level of world, is the infinite revelation of God. Is the infinite revelation of God. Why is a Jew not affected by mazel? Why could a Jew change mazel? For one reason. A Jew is not bound by nature. Naturally, the stars say, you're going to die today. You're going to die on your wedding day. That's what nature says. That's what the astrology is. Nature of the stars is saying you're going to die. But that's only if you're limited and bound and affected by nature. If you're above nature, how in the world is that going to affect you? It can't affect you. You're above it. Bottom line of all this, a Jew has mazel, but he's not affected by it. He could change it in an unlimited way without even knowing about it. Because the neshama of a Jew comes from the level of ayin, which is even higher than the world, the infinite level of God, not from the finite worldly level of God, from the infinite level of God. And if it's the infinite level of God, it can control nature completely.
Does that change whether a Jew keeps the
mitzvahs
or sins?
This has nothing to do with free will. Your mazel is your mazel. It has nothing to do with free will. Mazel is what's going to happen to you. Free will is when you're going to observe mitzvahs or not observe mitzvahs. That's totally up to us. Yeah. Tzedakah, praying, learning, davening, amunah, trust and faith in God. You could change it. Why? Because our soul is not limited in the nature of the mazel that says this is the way it naturally is supposed to be. A Jew is not bound by that. The Jew can reach a level above the nature, and therefore, if you're above nature, you could change nature. What?
I've seen many books written about the Kabbalah. They say that each month has a mazel. The Jewish months have mazel.
Gemara says that.
The Jewish months have mazel. So
the question is, in the Gemara it says, every month has a mazel. Yeah, like Elul's mazel dogim, and I mean others mazel dogim, and this is mazel this, mazel the various different lion. The Gemara says there's 12 mazalas. Each month has a mazel. But again, is a Jew restricted and limited by it? No, they're not. They could change it. How? You have to work to change it because you have to tap in to a level of above normal, above nature. You have to tap into the infinite. And then when that is there, there's nothing that you're not limited by that anymore. That's what Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu, coming back to the Chumash. Hashem is telling Avraham Avinu, you're telling me you're not going to have kids. The stargazers, Avraham said to God, the stargazers told me I'm not having kids. He said, what did they tell you? Avram's not having kids. But you're not Avram anymore. We're changing you to Avraham. And that name is going to produce kids. Because your mazel is being changed.
If somebody is Shlomazel, should he change his name?
If his last name is Shlomazel?
No,
I think it would be a good idea to change it.
So me is Shlomazel.
I wouldn't change it.
What's the difference between a Shlumil and a Shlomazel? Shlumil, if I'm sitting next to you and I pour boiling hot water over you, so I'm the Shlumil. I'm the one that did it. You're the Shlomazel, you don't got mazel.
And then Lutnik says, what kind of water?
And what?
And then Lutnik says, what kind of water was it?
Yeah. Okay, so now, just a few minutes left, let's go. Huh? What? First of all, you know, let me tell you something. When people say, oh, those people have it so good, their mazel is good, that isn't it? Do we really know what's going on there? No. Okay. So we can't come along and say a statement, oh, their mazel is great. Right? They might say, you know what, I have very bad mazel, in fact. And you have better mazel than me. We have to look into our own pots instead of other people's pots. The pot is always greener or cooking better on the other side. A person could have a lot of money and a big house and a beautiful car and a beautiful everything and they are miserable. And you'll never know it. But everyone spoke about Howard Hughes. Remember Howard Hughes? Okay. Howard Hughes in the last years of his life became a hermit. He didn't go out of his house. He didn't let anybody cook his food because he was afraid they're going to poison him for his money. They didn't let anybody, huh? What have they called?
That too.
That too. They didn't let anybody cut his hair because he would kill him. He didn't let anybody cut his nails. And the Rebbe said, the guy had all the money in the world. What does that make him? Nothing. It makes him miserable. There's a Hasidic expression. Three things affect you. Not from the Rebbe, it's a Hasidic, the Hasidim expression. It says three things affect you. If you have them and you're not affected, it's only because you don't have enough. Feel like this. Money makes you crazy. That's a fact. If you have money and you're not crazy, it's because you don't have enough. Yet enough will make you crazy. Whiskey, mashka, makes you drunk. You have mashka and you're not drunk, it's only because you didn't have enough. And Hasidus, they say refine a person. A person learns Hasidus. And they're not refined is because he didn't learn enough. Okay? Are there people in the world that, yes, they're content and they're happy and I'm sure there are. Okay? But we, as other people, can't look at somebody else and say, oh, look at the mazel those people have. You know that statistically, all the goyim that won the lotteries, the big ones, cursed the day they won it. They cursed the day they won the lottery. Why? Until then, they had a normal life. What happened afterwards? They got divorced. They got this. Nobody looked at them. They were worthless. They were only interested in the money. And people didn't want them. Okay, that's a life. The Mishnah says, wealth is if you're happy, content with what you have. Because then you find meaning in life. Now, you ask me a question. Are there goyim, or Jews for that matter, that have contentment and they have a lot of gashmis and they don't have godliness in them? You know, there might be, but you know what? They're still missing out a lot of life meaning. What is life for them? Question: what is life? You know, my father used to say in Hebrew, chayim, life in Hebrew is chayim. Right? Chayim, you know that? You heard that before? Right. Chayim. What are the two middle letters of chayim? Yud Yud, which is Hashem's name. The two middle letters of chayim in Torah is God's name. In English, it's called life. What are the two middle letters of life? If. Life without Torah is very iffy. If, I have, I don't have. You know, it's a very iffy. So, some people cannot show it, some people will show it. The bottom line is, the ultimate, Hashem should bless everybody with an abundance of money, an abundance of everything, and meaning and spirituality in life. That's what, by the way, you know what that's called? Becoming a Mashiach. That's what it's called. Becoming a Mashiach.
If people don't get enough of three things. One is money. One is
money.
And one is children.
What is the second one?
Life. You want to be alive. You want to be alive.
I don't know. I speak to a lot of people that say when I give them a bracha for living long, they say, I talk to you. I'm not interested. But let me ask you a question. Did any wealthy person on his deathbed ever regret that he didn't make more money in life? Never.
That's
what does he regret? He regrets that he didn't spend more time with the family, he didn't live a more meaningful life, he didn't live the way a person should, a human being should live. Because a Jew has spirituality, then the money is good, the happiness is good, the physical is good, then everything is blessed, because then it's mixed together in total harmony and total beauty. And if it's mixed together in total harmony and total beauty, so then you have the ultimate level. But a Jew is not, again, coming back to this point, a Jew is not bound by mazel. A Jew could change mazel. Because a Jew is essentially higher than mazel. A guy, by the way, cannot change mazel. What your mazel is what you're going to get.
So when somebody, God forbid, is sick and you say Shabbat.
What?
When somebody's sick.
Yeah.
Shabbos,
during the week also, yeah. No, we're just having Hashem to make him healthy. Usually when you add a name, that's when we're trying to change his mazel. That's when we're trying to change the mazel by adding a name. It's a new entity. It's a new entity, so of course. But a guy doesn't convert. A guy was always a shtiko converter. A real guy doesn't convert. Where? By a sick person? Really? I know the hocus pocus guys in Israel charge a lot of money and change names. We don't do that. the Rebbe was against changing names. The Rebbe said, why are you changing names? It was a name given you prophecy by your parents. You can add a name. That also changes the mazel. Because if you named Avram, and then you become Chaim Avram, or Rafal Avram, whatever, so you have a new mazel. What do you have to change it for? There was one person I know, he's a very big mashpia in Kfar Chabad. When he became, he was a convert from Australia, but he's real heavy-duty mashpia, knows a lot of learning, chassidus, he's a very special man. When he became a convert, he accepted a name when he became Jewish. I didn't know what it was. He went into the Rebbe the first time for Yechidus. The Rebbe said to him, you should change your name to Shneir Zalman. The Rebbe told him to change your name to Shneir Zalman. Now he's called Shneir Zalman. That original name he took. But that's rare. That's rare that you... Okay, we'll leave it here. Oh,